Marlo's take on concert going has generated a bunch of thoughts on our text line, 10-50-50. I don't really know if people agree with me or just disagree with you, but there's been a lot of people discussing the idea of the intimacy of being up close at a concert versus being all the way back. You're closer to the performers, and you missed the previous segment. We were discussing the Harry Styles concert. Now people were camping out to get as close to the stage as possible. Carlo, you're just like, I have no interest in being close to the stage.
No.
I'm in the building.
I don't understand the obsession of people lining up because they want to get closer to the stage. I don't get it. Like, that's just my opinion. I'm not a concert guy. I don't understand it. To me, I've been to three concerts. Like I said, when I go to a concert, I'm there to enjoy the music, and I don't care where I sit.
Let's bring in Ben McDonald, a man who I'm sure has been to many concerts, a professional athlete, played baseball for a long time with Baltimore Orioles, amongst other teams, now a Baltimore Orioles analyst. So, Ben, let me ask you right off the top, before we get to the J's and O's, when you go to a concert, do you care if you're sitting close? You cool with being back? What do you prefer?
Well, I normally go to a concert with my wife, and my wife likes to be close. And I'm going to tell you a quick story. I came home a couple years ago, and she was jumping up there. She goes, I won. I said, what, we won the lottery? What? What'd you win? She goes, I won tickets. I won tickets to go see Garth Brooks, and I'm sitting on the first row. I was like, baby, that's awesome. I said, that's great. I said, well, did you do it over radio, a radio channel? What? She goes, no, I won the bid. I said, baby, you didn't win anything. You just paid the most money for the ticket. So my wife had to win that price.
Nice.
She thought she won, but she didn't win. She just paid the most money for the ticket. So she got
won
the ticket. She won the bid. That's what she told me. But no, you know, I don't go to many concerts. My wife does, and I do go with her occasionally. But she likes to be up close. Like I don't know. She likes to see what kind of shoes they have on, and how much jewelry they have on, and what the shirt looks like, or whatever. So yeah, I guess I'd rather be up close. But just being in the venue itself. If you like the music, it's really cool. And if you're just in the venue itself, you know, it's a pretty cool place to be.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it, man. You go to a concert, you're there to enjoy the music. You're there to enjoy the show. It doesn't matter where you sit, right? Unless you're there,
that's right.
Like unless you're there to bring you on stage, like that's a different story. But like, what are the chances of that happening?
Very slim. But if you're like my wife, she may run on stage. But I got to have security around the stage, you know.
Right. So let's dive into baseball here. Obviously, the Baltimore Orioles are a feel good story in major leagues. Is this what you expected at this time of the year for the Baltimore Orioles? Because clearly it's caught everybody by surprise.
Not even close. I mean, you know, there was no reason to think, you know, now we all thought the Orioles would be better this year because you guys know, like I do, it's been tough to watch the Oriole baseball the last 3 or 4 years because they have just gotten beat on pretty bad, you know, over 100 losses. The only thing saved them was COVID year 2020 of not losing 100 games. And it's been a rebuild since about the middle part of 2018. And we knew they'd be better this year. We thought they'd be better, but I don't think anybody thought that they would be in the position that they're in right now. So it's been a surprise. It's been a very fun surprise. I think this is a young core group that quite honestly is just tired of getting beat on, and they're hungry, and they make a difference. And it's all about the bullpen for the Orioles. The bullpen has turned into the third best bullpen in all of baseball. It's a bunch of guys that truthfully were given up on at some point in time in their careers, and they've landed here in Baltimore, and the coaches have done a good job coaching them up, and they're having career years, and that's kind of where it's at. And there's some exciting young players like Jorge Mateo at shortstop, who's finally getting an opportunity at the big league level for the first time. And you know, he's a star in the making, I think. You know, he's just getting big league at bats, and there's Mullins and Mountcastle and Hayes, and just a young nucleus. Rutschman came up, and he's made a giant difference. So it's fun to watch. I'm happy for the Orioles. It's like you said, it's really good for baseball because, you know, we were talking to Dennis Eckersley in Boston the other day, and he came in the booth, and, you know, the Hall of Famer, and he's like, man, things have changed. He said, you know, we used to pencil the Orioles in and say, okay, we're going to play the Orioles 19 times this year. That's probably 15 wins for us right there, you know. And he said, it's just different now. He said, dude, we look at y'all's team now and we go, man, I don't know if we want to play that team or not. They're kind of young and dangerous and exciting in some ways. So, you know, it's been a big turnaround. It's been fun for us. Can it continue? Who knows? I mean, everybody's been counting this team out pretty much since they kind of got this thing about 2 months ago, and they've been counting them out, and yet they still find ways to be relevant every day in each standing. So,
Ben McDonald is our guest, a longtime major league pitcher, now a Baltimore Orioles analyst. And you've been watching the Jays up close for the last couple of days and the last couple of weeks. I think there's eight or nine games left between the Jays and the Orioles the rest of the way. What are you seeing from the Jays of late, Ben? Because it has not been going well for Toronto against Baltimore, now 2-6 against the O's this year.
Yeah, well, I saw the starters' ERA, you know, before last night. I think the starters in the last eight or nine games has pitched to an ERA above 7. So it always begins there. You know, there's nothing wrong with this offense. You know, when you get Springer back in this offense, he's a difference maker at the top. Now, it's disappointing that he may not be able to play the field from where him because of his elbow issues. So that hurts you from a defensive standpoint. But he makes a difference in the offense for sure, you know. And then you start going around and you're looking, and this team's going to score runs. I mean, it's a top-5 offense in all of Major League Baseball for runs per game. So I'm not worried about the Blue Jays' offense at all. If there's a question mark, there's a question mark with the pitching from what I've seen. Because I saw going in the last night's game, you know, the starters had the 8th-best ERA in the American League, and the bullpen was the 9th-best ERA in the American League. So I think that's where some of the concerns are. If the Jays can kind of shore up their pitching a little bit and those guys get going. And I know it's been a little bit of a disappointment with some of the guys. Kikuchi's not performed, you know, like you guys thought he would, and a couple of other guys. Guys have been pretty good, and obviously Manoa, you know, got hit a little bit last night, but he's been a superstar this year. He's been an all-star, you know. And so I think if your starting pitching can get going, be a little bit more consistent, the Blue Jays are there. But I love the offense, man. I tell you what, when you talk about young players and guys that can do it a little bit, I mean, Guerrero was always fun to watch. Gurriel, Kirk's had a nice year. Chapman's doing his thing. The offense is going to score runs. So I think it's all about the Blue Jays pitching, to be honest.
Well, considering everything you said about the Blue Jays, you would think that they were the team that should be comfortably in a playoff spot right now. But it's teams like the Orioles that have made it difficult, life difficult for them. And help understand the mindset of the Orioles, because clearly they had a really good start to the season. And at the trade deadline, you would think that there'd be a push to make this team better and give themselves a real chance. But they go the opposite way. They trade one of their best hitters. They trade their closer in the game. And that could suck the wind out of a team and suck the life out of a team. But instead, it has motivated this team to play even better baseball. How is this happening?
That's a great question. You know, and I'll take you back further than that. I'll take you back to spring training. Right before the season began, we trade away our 2 best relievers right out of the chute. I think it was Cole Sulcer and Tanner Scott. We traded, and those were our 2 proven arms coming back in the bullpen. We trade those guys away right away, and everybody's going, oh, my gosh, we just traded our best 2 bullpen arms. The season hasn't even begun. We're going to lose 120 games this year, you know, and we rock along, and we're playing well. And then our ace pitcher, John Means, who threw the no-hitter last year, he's our ace of our staff. He blows out his elbow early in the year, and everybody's like, oh, my God, it's really over with that, right? And the Orioles keep rocking along, overachieving in ball games. Tyler Wells emerged as the best starter for the Orioles, and he went like 18 consecutive starts and 3 earned runs or less. And all of a sudden, about a month or so ago, he blows out in the oblique. And then people say, oh, it was a heck of a run, man. It was a hell of a run, but it's over for the Orioles now. They might not win 5 games the rest of the year. Well, they keep on winning. And as you mentioned, you get to the trade deadline, and you trade Mancini away, and you trade your all-star closer away, and there we go again. You know, the pundits out there are going, okay, that was fun. We enjoyed that. We got a little taste of what it could be like years in the future. But it's over now, right? It's over. And yet this team just keeps on winning somehow. And I can't explain it. I think we have 26 come-from-behind victories this year. It's just, I explain it like this. They don't have any quit in them. There is no quit in this team at all. I've seen them come back time and time again. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but I do a lot of college baseball too, do the College World Series and all that. But it almost reminds me of a college team. And I'm not saying it in a bad way, but the enthusiasm and the belief that they can every time. And you talk to the players on this Orioles team, and they'll tell you, in years past, we'd come to the ballpark, and maybe if John Means was on the mound, we felt like we had a chance to win. Plus, past that, we didn't really feel like we had a chance. You talk to them now, and they come to the ballpark every day, and they go, we got a real chance to win. We think we can win today. And that's what's different about this team versus last. The team that's grown up a little bit with a young nucleus, but it's also a team that's hungry and a team that I really feel like is tired of being embarrassed like they have been embarrassed the last 4 years in Major League Baseball. So they're starting to punch back, if that makes any sense. They've been punched off for a while, and now they're starting to punch back. And so, you know, it's just one of those years, and you guys know this. Everybody in that bullpen has had a career year. I can go down that bullpen. Felix Bautista, who I call the Mountain, 6'8", 280 pounds, who closed the game last night, he began the year last year in A-ball. Look where he is now, and look what he's doing. C&L Perez was given up on. The Orioles signed him. Joey Crable given up on. Orioles signed him. Brian Baker giving up on. Orioles signed him, and they're all having career-type years. That doesn't happen every year, but it's certainly happening this year. So it's been fun to watch this baseball. And I know what you said about the Jays, and they should be further, but I'll take you one step further than that. How about the New York Yankees and what they've done as of late? There's only two teams in baseball that have a worse record since the All-Star break. I think that's the Tigers and somebody else than the New York Yankees. And who saw that coming, right? I mean, they were arguably on pace to have the best season in the history of baseball right before the All-Star break, and they're doing what they're doing right now. So baseball is a crazy game, guys. You can't figure it out. But look, don't be down on the Blue Jays. I think they're as good as anybody. I think if their pitching comes around, they're a World Series caliber team. I really believe that. So it's just going to have to shake them to see if the pitching can come around.
Yeah, and it is a big if. But the way baseball works, as Ben, I think, pointed out very well, I mean, we could chat again in September with Ben Carlo, and, you know, the Orioles could have lost 10 in a row, and the Jays could have won 10 in a row, and we're like, wow, the Orioles really fell off like we all expected them to, and the Jays had their, maybe perhaps peaking at the right time moment in the month of September. It's a funny sport, and you mentioned the Yankees as the prime example, a team that couldn't lose for months, and all of a sudden, they cannot buy a win in spite of their best efforts. Over the years as well. So thank you so much for doing this for us, Ben. Would love to catch up down the road when the Jays play the O's later next month.
Look forward to it, guys. Anytime. Y'all take care.
All right, you too. That's Ben McDonald, fan of concerts and fan of the Baltimore Orioles. Shout out to him.